From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 19th day of June 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll check the agricultural news for the afternoon. The Trump administration is busy in Washington and Iowa this week. We'll hear from Todd Hubbs about the upcoming grain stocks and, well, acreage report, but mostly we'll just hear about the grain stocks report today. And then as we close out our time, we'll take a look at both what's been happening in the cash grain segment with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County, and the weather with Mark Russo. He's in Chicago, and it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon, the 19th day of June. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's been happening in the marketplace. Last week, we thought, hey, wait a second, here goes the corn. And here we are today, down eight and a half cents for the day. What happened?
Well, it's a combination of events. We mainly blame it on the U.S. farmer, in a sense, because they wished for some better weather, and we had some better weather over the weekend. There was some fairly good coverage of rain. I know locally here I had over 3.8 inches of rain. You know, it was kind of hit and miss. For the most part, as you move further south and east, it was lighter amounts. But when you take the last week of precipitation, some decent coverage up to, you know, 2 inches and so forth, then we got some cooler temperatures. So that helps quite a bit. This afternoon's crop conditions report is actually expected to show a little bit of improvement. Average trade guess for corn conditions is 68% good to excellent versus 67 last week. Being 68% versus 66%. The thing the traders will be watching the state breakdowns to see who improved in what area. So it's a little bit of relief here. The forecast is still uncertain as we go forward here, so there's still a lot of weather. The other part is big exchange battle between the commodity funds and the U.S. farmer. And the farmer side is a combination between cash grain marketing, moving cash grain, feeling a little bit more comfortable about production prospects. But two, we're in the time window where the July basis contracts come due, and the farmer is long the July futures through the elevator, and the elevator will not let you take delivery, so they've got to do something with those basis contracts, either slip out of them or roll them to another month. We've been having quite a few calls where guys have just plain come out of them, eliminate that expense, and do some type of cover conservative strategy on paper where you got a lot more staying power. So we've got a little bit more of that to go through here over the next week and a half. Also, too, the thing to watch as we move through the weekend through here is Wednesday, June 21st, is the first day of summer. Oftentimes you get some change in trend. Then also the July options expire on the 23rd, on Friday in here. We expect open interest to drop dramatically after Friday's trade when these options go off the board, because those option traders will have that July squared away. Then the market could be maybe more open to some more extreme moves and pop out of this sideways trading range we've been in for the last 3 months.
And so your expectation is for some volatility in the corn market, and that always provides opportunity. Do you think that opportunity will be to the upside or downside, or are you just ready and prepared to take care of it on both sides of the market?
Yep.
There you go. Soy complex. Bean futures, they've been hanging in really tough. This despite what most people thought was an overwhelming supply, potentially overwhelming acreage. We'll know more on the 30th. But here we are, an 8 cent lower day in the corn market, and we only lost a penny and a quarter in the soybeans.
Beans just continue to hang in there. I know we're a buck lower than where we were last winter, but for the most part, they continue to climb the wall of worry. Bean demand continues to hang in there. Export inspections report, we shipped out another 275,000 tons of beans, 1.2 million metric tons of corn, and wheat shipments were strong. So, you know, beans are now in a position where if we see the crush continuing to hang in there, particularly on the oil side of the equation, and we continue to see these exports stay strong, we could be in a situation where the carryout could probably be closer to 390 million bushels versus the estimate of 450 million bushels. So stocks report will be important here on the end of the month, see where we are for stocks for all of these commodities. But, you know, this day-to-day demand just continues to hang in and look for that old crop inventory to shrink further yet as we start to get into July and those other summer months.
Anything from the other coarse grains? I was thinking about the wheat. Oats are back up at a high they haven't seen since July of, 2015 or something like that. What have you been watching?
Well, the wheat, the spring wheat particularly, they did get some rain in the Dakotas. The idea is that the good to excellent wheat category could come in 47% good to excellent versus 45%. That's still below 79% a year ago, so that's been the catalyst. Wheat conditions out west, you know, they had a tough time. Ideas, wheat production, the crop could be closer to 1.74 billion bushels versus 1.824 where the USDA is. So this July crop report is going to be a little bit more critical. Soft red winter wheat yields is really a mixed bag. You know, there's a lot of 70, 75 bushel wheat, decent but not very good. But I've heard some 100, 109 wheat yields out there here in this east, so that's good for these lower prices to make up some dollars there. Where it didn't rain, we heard that the most today because guys cut the wheat. Now they're trying to get these double crop beans in, and that's where most of the weather reports are going to come from, trying to get these beans out of the ground here in the next few weeks.
The cattle market has been weak. Do you expect that to continue?
Boy, we thought we'd hold in there a little better in this. Overall meat consumption, per capita consumption strong, exports strong. I think we just lost our speculative buying interest. Kind of bought the rumor they're selling the fact. We saw a lot of publicity, a lot of media coverage on these beef, box beef moving to China. So we'll see how things unfold. The market, it was overheated and overdue for a price correction in through here. But this weather cooperates. I think there's nothing but good news for cookout feature and the demand as we go through the summer.
Thanks so much. That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities. I'm out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, the tech industry's awkward dance with Donald Trump will continue today. Silicon Valley heavy hitters visit the White House. The administration has dubbed this week Tech Week, and its programming is expected to include an event in Iowa that will also serve as a send-off for former Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, who was recently confirmed as U.S. Ambassador to China. White House officials say they'll be in Iowa talking about agriculture and technology and showcasing the latest technology that is changing the way farmers produce, harvest, and market food. On that note, the full House Agriculture Committee will hold a hearing on Thursday to review university research as part of its ongoing look at farm bill programs. Universities, especially land-grant schools, are responsible for a large chunk of the foundational studies in agriculture, which the industry then builds on for its own products. Universities, for their part, say they are in need of funding for both research and facilities needs. Also in D.C. this week, lawmakers will look at rural broadband issues. The Senate Commerce Committee and the House Energy and Commerce Committees are both slated to hold hearings to consider internet infrastructure needs in rural areas. It's an issue that's rising in importance as officials eye the president's infrastructure package as a means to increase broadband in underserved areas. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke will be on the Hill on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to defend the White House's proposed budget to the Senate Appropriations and House and Senate Natural Resources Committees. Speaking of technology, comments are due today on USDA's proposed changes to the rules governing biotech crop approvals, known as the Part 340 regulations, as well as two FDA policies that relate to genome editing in plants and animals. The Part 340 changes, especially, could be one of the few food and agriculture-related proposals from the Obama era that has legs under the Trump administration. The measure would update which types of biotech crops would be subject to USDA rules, a change change long called for by scientists and companies who say only products that pose a human health or environmental risk should have to go through the department's long and expensive regulatory process. And finally today, research right here from the University of Illinois is helping to determine the quality of protein in wheat middlings and red dogs. Both are co-products of the wheat milling process. Each can be fed to pigs or other livestock. There's information about the digestibility of crude protein in some wheat co-products produced in Canada and China, says University of Illinois animal scientist Hans Stein, but only very limited information about the nutritional value of wheat middlings and red dog produced here in the United States. Stein and U of I researcher Gloria Casas fed wheat middlings from 8 different states and red dog from Iowa to growing pigs. Despite the variety in the wheat middling sources, the concentration of crude protein, they say, were generally consistent. However, they did find some variation in the digestibility of the amino acids. The red dog contained slightly less crude protein than the wheat middlings. Stein says the results of this study provide guidance to producers who hope to incorporate wheat co-products into diets fed to pigs. The paper appears in the June 2017 issue of the Journal of Animal Science. The National Pork Board provided funding for the study. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. If you'd like to hear it again, you can always do that from our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Naturally, it's a podcast, too, and you can find it in the iTunes Store, Google Play, on Stitcher, and one of my favorite ways, by using the NPR One app. Just search for Closing Market Report or Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You know, at the end of this month, the USDA will release a couple of really important reports. The acreage numbers normally overshadow most everything else, and the everything else is the grain stocks number. But that one's important, too. It gives us a handle on what's left in the pipeline, so to speak, here in the United States. Domestically, we're wondering just exactly how much has been used, and the numbers that are related, Todd Hubbs, to feed and residual use are hard to determine. Those are the ones that we really can't get a very good handle on. You've tried to come up with some ideas about the grain stocks report. You wrote about them this week in the Weekly Outlook posted to the Farm Doc Daily website. What'd you find?
Well, I found that my estimate of June 1st corn stocks, and this is just about corn, at about 4,944 million bushels. Now, that's assuming feed and residual use in the third quarter was 1,241 million bushels, which is sort of keeping in a trend of the percentage of that's normally used in the third quarter, given the ending number of 5,500 million bushels of feed and residual that's expected in the 16-17 marketing year. We've seen strong exports, about 688 million bushels in the third quarter. We've seen excellent ethanol production and corn use in ethanol, about 1,342 million bushels of corn use for ethanol in my estimate. And we've seen stronger industrial uses for corn. They've upped those numbers over the last few WASDA reports, and I've got about 413 million bushels used for other industrial uses besides ethanol. A lot of strength in those numbers is like in the starch area and glucose and dextrose. So while they're a small part of the total use, they've been going up. So we've seen strong corn use numbers. We've seen stronger livestock numbers. The question is how much of the corn is getting fed to the livestock and what feed and residual, you know, the pesky residual, what's that residual going to be? So I've got it at about 1,241, which puts us around 4,922 million bushels for a June 1st stock. I think if we're within 150 million bushels of that, you know, we're basically on pace to hit that 5,500 million bushels feed and residual for the 16-17 marketing year. Anything outside of that range, you know, there might be a warning signal. And if I was saying, would it be higher or lower based on the uses we've seen since they've in this marketing year, it might be less feed and residual use would be more likely of the two scenarios, which would mean a higher stocks number. it's really hard to say at this point, but I think if we're in that range, we're on track for the 5,500. And I mean, we're seeing, you know, strong exports. So right now we're getting really good use in corn for the 16-17 marketing year, which is good because we had a lot of corn.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
That, of course, is Todd Hubbs. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. If you'd like to read his pinnings, you can always do that on the Farm Doc Daily website. The address there is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Each and every Monday, he writes an article called The Weekly Outlook. It's posted after the noon hour. Check it out right now at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Now let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Carolyn White is here. She's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Carolyn, thanks so much for taking time with me today.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, what do you think of the move lower today in the futures market?
Well, you know, everybody got a little bit of rain. That is kind of to be expected. You know, some got way more than what they wanted, I think. Unfortunately, we couldn't spread that around a little bit. But I had a grower tell me today that rain wasn't going to fix some of his problems. So until the market can see perhaps some of that, if in fact, you know, we've got some issues out there, and I think we may have. I think we're in such a weather market right now, you know, and as quick as these forecasts change, you never know maybe what the market might do.
So today's move was a buy the rumor, sell the fact. I have a different type of question for you. Most of the time we talk about corn as it relates to this. However, I wonder if the producers, and they probably talk to you more about corn than they do soybeans, are they very worried about the soybeans in those same areas that have been also wet to the north and east of us through parts of Illinois and Indiana, Ohio?
I would think that they have to be. Especially those areas that, you know, had the 4 to 5 inch kind of stuff, Todd. But guys have talked mostly more about corn.
What space is acting like this week so far?
We just improved our nearby basis, but basis has kind of been pretty flat here recently. We are 10 under for nearby June and July corn, and 11 under on June and July soybeans.
And what does that put your bids for the corn and soybeans and your wheat bid at?
You bet. Cash corn, 365. New crop corn, 368. June and July soybeans, 927. New crop at 915. And cash wheat, 452.
Hey, Carolyn, thanks so much.
You bet, Todd.
Carolyn White is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Just an FYI, I missed recording the weather segment with Mark Russo, but the station has it. It just takes a while for them to get it back to me. I'll update this later on this afternoon.